We're going to be talking about health and nutrition at the beginning of our program, including from the University of Michigan, how sweet, fatty foods could remodel the brain to drive overeating. And then we're going to take a look with a conversation with Richard Gale. We've been doing a lot of research on what's going on with the media platforms like Google and Facebook and Wikipedia actually creating content or manipulating content against the rules. What are they trying to do? Whose interests are they serving? Why haven't they been stopped, and why should they be stopped now? And what responsibility do each of us have to see that we don't end up in some dystonian Orwellian state with these people controlling everything that we eat, drink, breathe, and do and occupy ourselves with? Because that's what they're doing. We'll get into that. Then we're actually going to hear from a person, a man who installs 5G. It's a very important interview. Also from Jeff Allen. I was sent, Lou Ampanessi sent me a little clip, the America I grew up in. And sometimes for those of us who are baby boomers or senior citizens, we grew up at a different time. Some things were much better, others were not. But it's worth listening to because I thought it was kind of funny, his routine. And we will also hear some important stories that we're not, the media is not getting any attention to whatsoever. So we have a lot to share today, and we always begin with the latest on health and healing. We know fatty, sugary foods can transform our body. We end up with fat bellies and thighs and hips and fat under our arms. All of that is toxic. All of it speeds up the aging process. It puts us at vulnerability of becoming diabetic, having arthritis, even dementia, heart disease and cancers, and depression. But according to the University of Michigan, much is less is known about how they might transform the brain. Well, now researchers have found that switching a mouse from standard chow to more fattening fare changes the activity of certain neurons that regulate eating, and that wears out the cellular brakes that limit intake. If the same is true for people, the finding could help explain why there's a tendency to overeat, because the brain is not telling us, you've had enough, slow down, change. And these are subtle manipulations, so just remember, and this is according to neurobiologist Professor Garrett Stuber and a team at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill also, that the brain will adapt to what, in effect, remodel itself based upon what you're eating. And today we're just, as a society, there's certainly about 3% of the American population. That may seem completely insignificant, but it's very significant. You're talking about over 11 million Americans are making very conscientious attempts to be as healthy as they can. And I'll bet the majority of the people listening right now are in that group. But when we know that what we eat changes our DNA and makes proclivities more likely, that is one of the explanations why we are so unhealthy and overweight. Also from the Virgilia University in Spain comes a study that shows the more nuts that you eat, the more walnuts and almonds, pistachios, cashews, filberts, macadamias, then you're going to have improved erectile functioning. And for a lot of men, that's very important. Now, you're probably hearing on the radio, because I've heard it when I'm out and driving, that men should go to the clinics and pay $100 and you'll end up being seen by a doctor who will prove that you can have an erection within an hour. And isn't that great? No, it's not. And I think you should rethink that. Why? The object of the exercise is not to be able to get an erection. Because if you're just trying to get an erection, you can artificially get an erection, but what about the underlying cause for the erectile dysfunction? That could be heart disease. It could be clogging of the arteries. It could be maybe you were a bike rider, or maybe you sat a lot. even the type of underwear you wear. All these things can impact the veins feeding into the reproductive system, and they can occlude, and they can break down, so the blood can't get through. So, isn't it better to know what the underlying cause is, and then rebuild your system, rather than, let me tell you the gimmick that they're using. Oh, you know, you'll get an injection. Okay, so a guy goes in and he pays $100 to get an injection, and then you can inject yourself. Well, first of all, I just can't imagine too many men wanting to put a needle in themselves to get an erection. That just doesn't seem like a good idea. But what's in that injectable? All they've done is give you a liquid version of one of the erectile dysfunction medications you're seeing advertised on television. That's all it is. So you're paying $100 to inject yourself to get an erection? That doesn't make any sense, besides there are side effects to that. But if you were to start drinking beet juice every day, that creates nitric oxide, and that's very important in getting an erection. Glutamine is important, and also choline. And choline will stimulate the nerves from the brain, and the message is going from the brain, which also helps. So there's completely natural ways. But I don't want to see a lot of guys not getting treated for what they may have, which could be a life-threatening disease, poor circulation. Low vitamin D level at birth raised the risk of higher blood pressure in kids, from Boston Medical Center. So they're saying that vitamin D deficiency from birth to early childhood is associated with a big increase in the risk of elevated blood pressure in later childhood and adolescence. And this was published in the Hypertension Journal. So a lot of times the blood pressure of the child will mimic the blood pressure of the mother. All the more reason to go on a low-salt or low-sodium diet to what your body actually requires, which is about one-fifth of what most people are consuming. Also, be taking potassium as a supplement or drinking coconut water a couple times a day. That's really good for your potassium levels. And keep your blood pressure down. If you do that, your child is less likely to end up with cardiovascular disease and high blood pressure. A lot of people don't know that there's a what they call a weed in their front yard, backyard, and they pull it out. Don't. If it's a dandelion, it's extremely healthy. In fact, it can help fight cancer. This is according to the University of Windsor, which is in Ontario. And this has been around for a long time. It's been shown in ancient medicine to be capable of fighting cancer. It also is a great detoxifier. It's a great chelator, too. It originated in Eurasia, and it gets its name from the French concept of lion's tooth, and that's because of its jagged, tooth-like leaves. It's very high in vitamin A, and it's been used to help women clean up urinary tract infections because it impedes the growth of microbes within the urinary system. It's terrific as a detox for the liver. You can make it into a tea for detoxification. But the root is getting a lot of attention now also because it has anti-cancer effects. So far in the laboratory, it's killed cancer cells for melanoma, pancreatic cancer, leukemia, and colorectal cancer. These are very tough cancers to kill, so that's good news. In fact, in one study from the University of Windsor, dandelion root extract was shown to prompt human melanoma cells to kill themselves within just 24 hours, leaving healthy cells alone. Meanwhile, a study published in the International Journal of Oncology found that dandelion tea could reduce prostate and breast cancer cells. Now, in addition to its cancer-fighting effects, dandelion root can also enhance your heart. Its extract can help treat blood acidity and high blood pressure, and it's just really good at lowering cholesterol as well. So dandelion is not to be sprayed with a weed killer or cut down. It's to be picked and used. According to the University of Calgary, brain cells that curb overeating found diminished activity on a high-fat diet. So, here is this simple connection. When you're eating high-fat food, there's your paleo diet, there's your ketogenic diet, there's your Atkins diet, and where as much as 60% of your calories come from fat, that is just, to me, that, my personal opinion, that is one of the most nutritionally irresponsible things that a dietitian or a medical doctor could do, is to give you that much fat in your diet, especially when it's from meat or animal proteins, which is giving you a high level of one of the most pro-inflammatory cytokine producers, or arachidonic acid. In any case, we now know, according to an article published in the journal Science, that the more fat that you consume, then you diminish the brain cells' capacity to understand that you are overeating fat. From University of Miami School of Medicine, published in the Journal of Psychoactive Drugs, marijuana can be an effective alternative to pain and sleep prescription medications. That's brand new science. And also, the University of Montreal found that a diet of ultra-processed foods, that's your typical American diet, leads to chronic disease risk. We all knew that when you're having those carbonated beverages and mass-produced cookies and ice cream and sweetened yogurts. Those are processed, ultra-processed foods, and those are not good for you. There were 13,000 participants in this particular study, and that's what they found out, that you have a 37% higher odds of diabetes, a 60% increased risk of high blood pressure by consuming all those calories in ultra-processed diet. This is published in the peer-reviewed journal Stroke. And then we have exercise can improve a woman's chances of becoming pregnant, University of Queensland, which is in Australia. And this was a part of their School of Human Movement and Nutritional Sciences. And where some women want to become pregnant with an intentional pregnancy and can't, exercise can improve the chances of becoming pregnant. So, about an hour a day. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Human Reproductive Update. And if you want to have a healthier heart and try to prevent stroke, according to Shanghai Joao Tong University in China, L-glutamine, and I mentioned L-glutamine was really good against herpes. It can destroy herpes. Glutamine, glutamine, that's an amino acid, A-M-I-N-E. So 3,000 to 4,000 milligrams a day. So according to the new reporting originating in Shanghai, L-glutamine, which is a very good antioxidant, plays a role in a variety of biochemical processes, and especially it's the oxidative stress that can lead to stroke pathology. Glutamine breaks up that process. So by taking L-glutamine, you're less likely to have a stroke. That is terrific. And for those who are, unfortunately, I think we all know someone who's smoking those electronic cigarettes, aside from creating popcorn lungs, which can kill you, University of California at Riverside found that it also damages your brain stem cells. And that is really bad. So a lot of young people are switching over from cigarettes to these electronic cigarettes, and they're extremely damaging. So here you are, 25 years old, and you're destroying brain stem cells. And stem cells become specialized cells with more specific functions, such as brain cells and blood cells or bone, and far more sensitive to stress than the specialized cells they become. Stem cells provide a model to study exposure to toxicants, such as cigarette smoke. So along comes these electronic cigarettes, and their nicotine delivery systems are done by an aerosol, and the nicotine and flavor chemicals, through heating, end up with a very toxic chemical reaction, and those affect neural stem cells, particularly their mitochondria in the organelles, that serve as the cell's powerhouses and are critical for regulating cell health. So try as best you can to get people off. And finally, when someone says, Gary, I hear you take coconut oil each day, that's correct. I also put it on my skin because when I'm outside, it's a great repellent. Now, when I know I'm going to be a lot in the grass and weeds, the woods, then I take some tea tree oil and I just take a simple little brush. Let's say a brush like a small, tiny paintbrush, detail paintbrush, or maybe an eyebrow brush, something small. And I soak it in tea tree oil and I wipe that around the base of my shoes. And if I'm in the woods, I'm going to wear knee shoes. Why? Well, simple. Because a copperhead can do a 2-foot strike, rattlesnake a 3-foot strike, coral snake about a foot strike, water moccasin about a foot and a half strike. And so that means the average person walking is going to get bit more often than not in the foot, but in the calf, the shin area. But if you have a boot on that's a strong web in, and there's actually snake-proof boots, that if you're going out hiking, that's what you should wear. So you get bitten, more often than not, the snake won't bite higher than that, and you don't get bitten. But also, by putting the tea tree oil on the outside of a shoe, it repels ticks. It's the best thing in the world for ticks when you're outside. And then massage coconut oil onto your skin. So if you have shorts or short sleeve shirt, put the coconut oil on your body and it's a natural insect repellent. And it works. But there's a lot of other reasons for taking coconut oil inside your body. It's just terrific. Now it's the good saturated fat, unlike other fats. Based upon the chain, the length of its fatty acid chains, it helps burn fat, and it reduces belly fat. It's a brain booster. There's a good study published in the Neurobiology of Aging showing that taking the medium-chain triglycerides from coconut oil, that Alzheimer's disease or mild cognitive impairment was improved substantially. That's good. And they started to see changes in only 9 minutes after treatment associated with measurable cognitive improvement. It can clear head lice when combined with anise spray. Coconut oil was found to be superior to the insecticide, and you don't want an insecticide on your skin because it can penetrate. In fact, it was interesting. I was in the store the other day, and I heard a couple right in front of me in line talking about, she said, now, did you get that? Did you get the oil that's got the deed in it? And he said, I'm looking for it. And she said, well, I want that one. So I just said, could I offer you a suggestion? She said, what? And I said, coconut oil is a healthy oil, and it protects you against insects. DEET is a very toxic pesticide that goes into the blood, and in Gulf War veterans from the 1991 conflict in Iraq were wearing uniforms sprayed in DEET because of sand fleas. And they came back with all forms of ulcerations on their legs and body. And inhaling it, too, is very toxic. I wouldn't use it, but that's, you know, and she was appreciative. And they took back the bottle. They said, yeah, we know how to get some coconut oil. I said, good. So head lice. Boy, could the entire court of Louis XIV have used some coconut oil for their head lice. I'll talk about that someday. By the way, there's a lot going on right now in social protests. And only tiny, tiny groups of people are engaged, maybe 150, 200 people, beating up on each other or beating up on people in ways that are, to me, just immature. And to not bring anyone to a recognition that if you want to communicate with someone, you don't hit them in the face, sucker punch them, you don't gang up on them. That's cowardly. If you have an issue with someone, talk with them about it. That's completely legitimate. But ganging up on people and beating them up, that's gutless. And all that's doing, just so you understand, where you in your own self-righteousness will say, yeah, they deserve it, because they're whatever it is, put it fill in the word. The rest of the world's watching and saying, what have we come to? I'll tell you what we've come to. I don't have time today, but I will set aside an hour if need be to give you a real history lesson on we are now very close to 1786. And you'd have to know what was going on in France in 1786 right through until all hell broke loose around 1790, 1791. And then Marie Antoinette and her husband, Louis XVI, lost their heads. Didn't have to, by the way. I'll tell you how that actually happened. And she never said, let them eat cake. That's, you know, that never happened either. But, in fact, just the opposite. She was actually so concerned about when she heard of starvation that she started insisting upon more bread going to them. But that's a separate issue. But right then there were two groups that were formed, and both groups were highly radicalized, and both believed it. Robespierre led one group. He was a lawyer, and he was ironic because he came through the Age of Reason with all of his perspectives on life, and yet he reversed everything. He didn't believe in capital punishment, yet he led the entirety of the guillotines. 26,000 people lost their heads. More lost their lives. Drowning was common, taking people to just anyone you wanted to accuse at all. It was like the Inquisition of 1296. All you had to do is say, that butcher over there and that bricklayer, they are not a part of the revolution. And just not to be a part of the revolution, let alone against the revolution, they would just bring you over, they would tie your hands, and they would throw you in the water. People would bob up and down, try to... It was this rotten way of dying, and I mean in one day over 221 people, including children, were killed by the revolutionaries. And then there were two groups fighting each other. Robespierre's lost. Went from the most powerful revolutionary in France, made a mistake, he killed the most powerful revolutionary woman. She also lost her head, but then Robespierre did too. Anyhow, I'll talk about the two competing groups of rebel factions who believe that the only way for change to occur was through radical violence, killing people, destroying them. And that's what we have today, destroying the opposition, where there is a culture brewing in a small group of people, very small group of people as a percentage, where they see only violence as an answer, and violence is not an answer. And what do you think is going to happen when the rest of America finally gets fed up with your immaturity and you're acting out as if somehow you have an intellect or a right to your violence? You have a right to protest, but you're not following any civility rules, and that becomes a problem. Self-righteousness is not a justification. And I'll get into that in depth. I want to spend a lot of time on that. In any case, here are some reasons to take coconut oil each day. It helps speed up wound healing. Any scratches, burns, coconut oil. It's a NSAID alternative. It's been demonstrated to have anti-inflammatory, analgesic, and fever-reducing properties. It's an anti-ulcer. I have people mix 1 tablespoon of coconut oil into a 16-ounce glass of cabbage juice, organic cabbage juice. Watch how quickly you get rid of GERD, and it heals ulcers of the stomach and intestines. It's antifungal. It's great if you have Candida albicans. Coconut oil is the first treatment people should use against fungal infections. And then it boosts men's testosterone level, which is good. And it reduces swollen prostates and improves blood lipids, and it helps with other fat-soluble nutrients to be absorbed, like vitamin D. So, it's good for your bones, and it's a great sunscreen. Just some things to consider. We're 25 minutes into our program. That's the latest on health and healing. And we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back. And we're going to speak with... before we speak with Richard Gale about social media and how they're... what their real agenda is and why we should be concerned, we're going to hear from a man who installs 5G equipment. That's what he does. And he's educated himself about their dangers. So we'll go right into that right after these announcements.
Cell phone towers and install the cellular equipment that allows you to keep scrolling. And I'm currently in 5G training. And I was already concerned about this technology before getting in there and actually learning some of the science about it. So let me give you some of the science about it. The radio frequency that our towers currently emit is non-ionizing radiation with a long footprint over the ground, so it's able to dissipate and spread out. Right? It's currently being broadcast anywhere from like 1.5 to 2.5, 2.8 megahertz. Right? Up close, if you take radio frequency close, it superheats the water molecules in your brain, eyes, and testicles. Right? So it's a very real thing. You could render yourself sterile or with a splitting headache for days or I cooked the top of my skull and left me useless for the rest of the day. Right? And that's at short range. At a relatively low power. The way 5G is going to work is it is going to broadcast one in gigahertz, not megahertz. We're talking about 30 plus gigahertz they're estimating, which means 15,000 times stronger than what we're pushing out right now. And it's going to actually go at a much, much steeper peak. It's going to almost be broadcast straight at the ground to hit more receivers that are then going to transmit it outwards. Right? The plan is to install these small cells on billboards and street lights, sides of buildings, in the corner of your office building or in the hallway of your apartment complex so that they can get lightning fast speeds. Well, here's the thing. The RF that we've been broadcasting isn't really damaging to you, though they can't tell the long-term effects. But because it dissipates over distance, and it's not a concentrated thing, the radio frequency we're broadcasting now has a really long wave trough. Alright? So even if you're getting hit with it, you're not absorbing a lot. That's why if I take it close range, I eat it, but you don't feel it down off the tower. It's not going to be that way with 5G. It's going to be in the corner of your office. They're talking about putting a 38-band MIMO antenna in the back of every car so that they can talk to each other and self-drive. Now, the 5G, its waveform is much tighter, where 4G, 3G, and 2G have fairly long wave troughs so that we can reach distances and have a greater footprint coming off the tower. It's not necessary with 5G. It's going to be broadcasting what's called a millimeter wave, which is much more tightly focused with much closer wave troughs. So when it does hit, you just get blasted. And it's not miles away, hundreds of feet up on a tower anymore. It's in the corner of your office. Which means that this millimeter wave is going to be able to directly affect the cellular membranes, the bonds that hold your cells together. It's going to be in your face. It's going to be behind the back seat where your car seats are. So, I mean, not to mention what it's going to do to your brain and your eyes and your testicles or ovaries just from the superheating that radio frequency will do at a close range. But because it is so powerful, so compact and tightly beamed, it is literally going to be able to break down the bonds that hold your cells together. And that's how you get tumors. The rub of it is, America, that you're not going to know what I did to you for another 15
years. There's a man who's honest. He has been captured by the communications industry. He has been shut up by ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, people that are behind this. He's just telling you the truth. I wouldn't live in a building, period. I wouldn't live in a city once the 5G is throughout that city. I value my health. And I realize there are people who have completely legitimate arguments that, well, I grew up here. Well, it's my house. I can't afford to move. Those are all legitimate. Now, balance that against your life, against brain tumors, breast tumors, against disease of the heart and liver, circulation, massive insomnia, pain throughout your body. All that comes from the electromagnetic frequencies of 5G. And they're really promoting the heck out of 5G. They've captured most of Congress. So here's the idea. Charles Schumer, head of the Senate, has said that he wants to, originally, that he cared about the public's health. I don't believe it. And he is not allowing public hearings. We need public hearings where we, the people, can bring in the best experts on electromagnetic frequency toxicity in the world. We have them all. We have a whole list of them. They've all said yes, they will testify. You need to get on the phone and tell Chuck Schumer. He works for the people. And let him remember that for a moment. And to hold hearings. So that we, the people, can speak out and we can bring the scientists who have not been bought by Washington's lobbying corps. Then let the people hear the truth, just like this lineman. Let him hear the truth and then say, do we want this? And the answer is no, we do not. There's no viable reason for it. The trouble is that the young people in mass, there's certainly a lot of very smart ones, but a lot of them are not concerned about the consequences. They just want the benefits. Oh, I can get it 2 seconds faster? I'm all in. Where do you think they're marketing all this? They're marketing to everything speed, everything faster. So just remember, once it gets installed, it's not going to get uninstalled. You can just imagine the years you're going to shave off your life, quality of life at that. Call Chuck Schumer today. Demand open public hearings where we will bring in experts. Not ones that the communication industry will bring in who have been paid to mouth that there's no studies. We have 10,000 studies from the government's own database showing the dangers. We have 26,000 scientists who are against it. We have all the truth on our side, but they have Chuck Schumer and the politics of comporting pay to play on their side. And they have the media, the New York Times, and other unfortunately compromised publications on their side. Call Chuck Schumer. Don't expect someone else to do it for you. You do it. Now, we're going to go over. I see that we have someone on the line, and we're going to go to Deborah in just a moment. But first, let's go to Richard Gale, because yesterday was a very intense hour. I spent one entire hour, the entire show, explaining the dangers of allowing the information we received to come from extremely biased, unscientific, and extraordinarily intellectually limited sources like Wikipedia on health issues, where they're wrong. And we've pointed out in 32 articles they're wrong on everything they're talking about, and we challenge them, and we print verbatim, not out of context, their statements about chiropractic or their statements about homeopathy, and then show what the peer-reviewed literature actually shows. But there's more than just them being wrong and biased and wanting to attack people to destroy their reputations. It goes deeper than that, and Richard Gale is here to explain why we must have a deep look, an objective and independent look at what is Google and Facebook and Wikipedia, what are they really up to, what's behind all this, and how can they influence us without us even being aware that they're doing that. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Gary. Good afternoon. Yeah, so in that piece you were reading yesterday, a lot of it was not just Wikipedia, but Google, and there was a little bit of mention there about the relationship that Google and Wikipedia had. I don't remember if you quite got to that or not, but Google has already donated, I think, up to $7 million. You did mention that, over the course of the last decade to Wikipedia. Google provides Wikipedia editors with certain algorithmic and app tools for their monitoring the different pages that they edit and the content on and control of the content over them. So I wanted to focus a little bit on Google, however, because Google, we all use Google. It's just become almost like just a household appliance now for so many people. And yet there is deep censorship that is going on, and I don't think many people really understand the type of censorship that's happening. And yet when we do any kind of searches, there are certain almost subliminal ways in which Google is providing auto-suggestions for us right away that are heavily biased, prejudiced, and supporting a certain ideology. And if any of the listeners, if you're at the computer, you're at your computer, you can just go to a Google search page and you can actually just follow what I'm going to be saying here. So, what happens is that when you start to type something in, let's say you want to learn about supplements or homeopathy or chiropractic, and when you begin to type supplements and then you say are or is, you will get a drop down of the different auto suggestions that Google puts up on the screen for you. All right. So if you were to type in supplements, Google will try to complete your statement, and this is the list that you would get. If you were just typing now supplements, you will say it will show supplements are bad, supplements are useless, supplements are not regulated, they're bad for you, not FDA approved, not regulated by the FDA. Supplements are dangerous. Finally, then you'll get the next one would be they're good for you, and then supplements are scams and supplements are garbage. All right, that's so. This is the auto suggestion that has been programmed into Google as a way to immediately give these auto suggestions to discredit. If you were to type in taking vitamins is, and then you would get the auto corrections would come up. They're bad for you. It's a waste of money. Is it good or bad? It's bad for your liver, and does it help? GMOs, if you were to type in GMOs are, you would get a drop down in the auto suggestions Google will give you. GMOs are good. They're good for you. They're harmful to the environment. They're unnatural. They're good for the environment. But the first ones that are coming up that they're good and they're good for you. Glyphosate, if you were to type glyphosate, it's safe. Is in everything, it is not carcinogenic. And you can kind of go, type in organic. Organic is, and you would get, it's a lie, it's a sham, it's a myth, it's a waste of money, it's a marketing gimmick. Right? Now, there has to be a human being behind the creation of these algorithms. And traditionally with Google searches, the way these auto suggestions would come up would be based on what the majority of people using Google would be putting in. And that used to be the way it used to be. So if they have not tagged something, all right, some person who's writing that algorithmic, you would be getting a more realistic survey of what people are actually querying Google on. So they apparently, I was going through all different kinds of examples. I was trying to come up with an exception to this rule. So if you apparently they never tacked herbal medicine. So if you type in herbal medicine is, you'll get a drop down auto suggestion of it's better than conventional medicine, better than orthodox medicine, better than modern medicine, good for your health, is better, is safe, is natural, is effective. So in other words, it's showing right there that is an unbiased, that's based on the actual searches of people using Google as opposed to the algorithms that the Google people or programmers are using to discredit alternative health. And it goes on. You can holistic medicine, you know, it's fake, it's dangerous, anti-science, homeopathy, you get a drop down, it's fake, quackery, a sham, dangerous, pseudoscience, a placebo, a fraud. Same thing for chiropractic, you do chiropractic and naturopathy as well. So I just wanted to be able to share this with the audience on how Google's been operating and the way it's been able to censor actual content it's one way of putting up a screen, a kind of a veil over the content. The other thing we might want to speak about now, Investors Business Day did a story about a Google project called Dragonfly. If anybody's heard of Dragonfly. And apparently this is a censorship program, a technology that Google has created, and it prompted over 400 Google employees to sign a letter in protest against this. It's a technology that's being used to aid the powerful and to oppress the vulnerable, according to the letter that the Google employees wrote. It's being used in China. The Chinese government is using this now. And this, I think, sets a very, very dangerous precedent. Especially at this very volatile political moment where the Google, the Silicon Valley companies are completely aligning with the wealthy and the powerful to protect their interests and trying to censor, including the censorship of ads, which is what happened to Dr. Joseph Mercola. Mm-hmm. It's been, a lot of this has been the censoring of ads on Google. They've censored online pharmacies. Google has censored the online pharmacies, mostly that are in Canada, which are offering cheaper drugs, where you can go, if you need to get a cheaper drug, you can go to Canada and have it sent to you. But Google's now actually censoring those ads. They're censoring a lot of Christian groups who oppose abortion is another one. Or ads for anti-abortion crisis centers are being censored as well. So there's this. Some of these natural sites have lost upwards towards 95% of their traffic has been lost because of this kind of censorship that's going on right now.
Thank you very much. No, you said it well, and we will be doing articles on this, many articles, continuing with our series of articles deconstructing the myth of Wikipedia and why we shouldn't use Wikipedia, and why it should be investigated by Congress with open hearings. Wouldn't you love to have open hearings where our site could bring forth Cheryl Atkinson and Deepak Chopra and all the people who've been slandered with no opportunity to change the lies on their biographies and see how Jimmy Wales and the other skeptics, once their true identities are revealed and they can't hide, and how they would respond. It would, Wikipedia would end, as it should. In any case, thank you. We are just beginning our efforts, but remember, those efforts cannot be done just by a handful of us. Everyone kind of expects us to fight their battle, to do all the research, all the scholarship, get the lawyers involved, as we have now with 5 lawsuits to protect people who haven't lifted a finger in their entire life for anything except their own selfish expressions of who they are. And yet when suddenly they come knocking on your door because you weren't looking when they were breaking down everyone else's door, now you yell and scream like you're a victim. Victim of what? Except your own hubris, selfishness, self-righteousness. Isn't it time you realized you either join a group of people who share some common identification with challenging inequality and injustices, biases, prejudices, misogyny, whatever it may be, And when you're part of a group fighting for a common good beyond your own self-interest, then you're identifying at a spiritual, moral level that is redemptive. Otherwise, if the only time you ever open your mouth is when you personally are affected, then what exactly have you contributed to the human condition except your contempt for the other? But in spite of that limitation of humanistic values, we are still fighting the fight for you. Why? Because we like you? Not at all. Jesus. Not for a heartbeat. Because you're a nice person? Because you're contributing something decent to society? Not at all. Because to honor what is important in every single human being, you have a responsibility in this very tough-ass life, unless you come from a guilted, gifted bubble of want for naught and stuff for every occasion and every moment. Most people have to work hard, and most people have to struggle. But then you realize one day, it's not about you personally. It's about we as a society. So we are stronger together. We have more power unified from nonviolent ethical challenges. And it is the person who fights for other people, not just themselves, that gains my attention and respect. So we're fighting. We're supporting the lawsuits. We're doing the research every single day, 7 days a week. Come into our office. 7 days a week we're working. Till 1, 2 in the morning, because we don't have a lot of people out there fighting on our behalf. And you won't appreciate that until you wake up one day and you've got asbestos, you've got talcum powder, you've got your Teflon skillets, you have your chemical-laden tampons, you have your chemical dye in your hair coloring agents, all of them dangerous. And then you think, well, how did this happen? This wasn't supposed to happen. The EPA, the FDA, who's protecting us? Well, they're sure as hell not. The EPA is a completely corrupted agency from top to bottom. Shouldn't exist anymore. Should be redone completely. It was good at one time under Carter. Hasn't been good under anybody else since then. But that's true of almost every governmental agency. So just understand something, friends. You don't have the government on your side. You do not have people unless it's so they can politicize something to their gain. So work together on these issues. Take the articles we've written and share them with everyone. Send them to your legislatures. We don't like to take credit for any of this. It's just a natural way that things happen. When you do the right things, you can get some right outcomes. We have a woman on the phone right now. Her name is Deborah. Hi, Deborah.
Harry, I come from one of the retreats, and I just wanted to share my incredible experience. I had lost my husband 2.5 years ago, and at the time I had a 15-month-old, and he was just an incredible person, and I just had a tremendous loss, and I was lost. And then I was listening to your show for years, and a retreat came up, and the opportunity, I got approved through Luann, and it was just life-changing for me. Just arriving at the villa, the experience you have with nature, it's just a special place that has incredible energy and just healing, and the workshops and where you have sprouting and meditation and yoga, and if you're lucky enough to work with you with the energy work, was just remarkable for me, the change that I had. I felt guilty and thought that I should have done more from the information that I had, and I was just at a loss, and it just everything just turned around for me. I no longer have that heart, deep-rooted heart hurt. I have a clearer head. I look at it as if he had 15 incredible months with her versus, all the years she's not going to have with him. And it's just truly life-changing. And I had a lot of doubt with my whole journey. And I had learned that everyone has their own journey. And it was my only I only had to do it wasn't my job to cure him or help. I just love him, and it just truly changed me, and I'm just a better person for that. The whole experience is just amazing. The incredible food, and you meet like-minded people, and I was a little concerned with, you know, everything. A lot of things are done in silence, and I was afraid to be with my own thoughts, and it just, it was so much better. I was never one to go around telling my story, but I told the story to myself, and just being in silence, I was able to sort so many things out, and it was just an incredible experience that it was a blessing that I was able to come to the retreat.
Good. We haven't spoken, and so I thank you for calling in and sharing this. What did you observe in some of the other people as each person was there for a different reason? And what did you see that would some people, especially doctors, and there were doctors there when you were there, they came out of curiosity, they told me. Sloan Kettering, a top oncologist from the University of Pittsburgh, pain expert from New York Hospital. What did you see happen that you would not see at a normal yoga retreat or a normal Buddhist upstate meditation retreat, which are very good, by the way? What was different?
There were people that came with walkers. They didn't look well. And each day you just saw them walking better, looking more alive, and just enjoying life. And it's just such an incredible healing experience. People, there's just like-minded people that you find out later on, and you just have friendships, you know, forever. It's just an incredible journey to see people just getting well within days. It didn't even take long. For someone was with a walker, they could barely function, and 3 days later they're walking on their own, they're walking on a track doing miles, and it's just an incredible journey.
I'm glad that you shared this with us, because people have to realize there's more than one model for living a life that is authentic. And if we're controlled by the mainstream media and Wikipedia and Google, who deny your experience and deny the people who had end-stage MS, who today have no MS, and end-stage autism, who have no autism, and end-stage cancer, who have no cancer, and end-stage leukemia, have no leukemia. These people are real. They have their medical records. We filmed them. And they cannot understand it, because their model does not allow anything that is spiritual, anything that is metaphysical, anything that is based upon energy. It is purely a linear reductionist model. And so they just turn their head and say, that can't be. If they didn't achieve that with their medicines and therapies, then who else could do that? They don't look at solving a complex problem with simplicity. So I'm glad that you shared how a life can be changed in simplistic ways when you connect with nature and connect with your authentic self. Final thought?
It's just truly blessed to have been part of that, and I, whoever will listen to share that experience with, and I thank you. It's truly
grateful. All the best. All the best to you, Deborah. She was living a life of guilt, and a lot of people whose partner or child or someone dies lives with that guilt. Couldn't I have done more? You know, why didn't I? Why wasn't I more proactive, etc.? She doesn't live with that guilt today. She lives with the best and most loving of the memories, but now is looking forward to her own life and that of her daughter. Luann Panessi.
Hello, Gary.
Luann, for WBAI, our sister station, we're going to be having a retreat the last 2 weeks of October. Give the number out.
Surely. It's 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008. Give me a call. I make sure it's the right experience
for everyone.
Good. And this is going to be a fundraiser for the station, and we help purchase over 1,000 premiums. Every single premium that was ordered has been delivered, including all those cookbooks. So because of that retreat, that's how we're able to do it. It's a long way off, but plan now. I want to thank everyone for taking their time to listen in today, and I look forward to sharing more with you tomorrow and tonight. Powerful show tonight. Whoa. You won't want to miss the 7 o'clock Progressive Commentary Hour. I want you to tune in because we're going to show you a different way of helping ourselves, and I've got one of the smartest people on the planet who are going to be guiding this discussion tonight. So tonight, 7 o'clock, Progressive Commentary Hour. And for everyone else, I'll see you back here tomorrow.